I would like to call to order the May 12th, 2020 Hingham Board of Selectmen's meeting. And I'd like to read the following. This meeting is being held remotely as an alternate means of public access pursuant to an order issued by the governor of Massachusetts dated March 12, 2020, suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. This meeting, an authorization of this meeting, will be recorded by the town of Hingham in accordance with the open meeting law. If any participant wishes to record this meeting, please notify the chair at the start of the meeting in accordance with Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 20F, so that the chair may inform all other participants. Raise your hand and let us know. That would be great. I would like to move to the approval of the minutes. Any questions or comments with respect to the minutes?
I provided some comments, which I know was circulated. I just hope that they were that it was received by the two of you in time. Assuming that it was, I would move to approve the minutes dated May 5th, 2020.
Karen, just so you know where Mary has, she just joined us, okay.
Hey, Mary. So Joe has moved the approval of the minutes. I don't know whether you've had a chance to review them and you're ready to vote on them, or we could put them off till next meeting, but there's a motion on the table for the approval of the minutes.
I'm happy to second that.
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Joe Fisher?
Aye.
Mary Power?
Aye.
Karen Johnson? Aye. Okay, as is our habit, we move immediately to our COVID update. Tom Mayo.
Great, thank you. I just want to confirm you can all hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Great, thank you. So I'll start with the COVID-19 cases. As of last Wednesday, the Department of Public Health was reporting 186 laboratory confirmed cases in Hingham. As of today, DPH is reporting 79,332 cases in Massachusetts, of which 6,507 are in Plymouth County. Please keep in mind that the numbers reported by the state are lower than the actual numbers of cases because they only include those who have tested positive. They do not include clinical diagnoses of COVID-19 by medical professionals, people who self-diagnose and stay at home, or asymptomatic people who don't realize that they have the virus. A total of 401,496 people in Massachusetts have been tested to date. About 4% of Massachusetts cases are reported by DPH as currently hospitalized. The number of hospitalized COVID-19 patients has been slowly decreasing since April 21st, according to DPH data. So non-COVID-19 care. At the same time, hospitals have been reporting a decrease in the number of people seeking medical attention for urgent, non-COVID-related issues like heart attacks, strokes, appendicitis, etc. Medical professionals are concerned that this may mean that people are delaying or avoiding seeking care for serious medical issues out of fear of contracting COVID-19. Many serious conditions like strokes can be successfully treated if care is quickly received, but can be fatal if treatment is delayed. Please do not hesitate to call 911 if you need immediate medical attention. The governor has recently issued a new four-phase reopening approach that I wanted to speak on a little. So the administration has announced a four-phase reopening approach for transitioning out of our current stay-at-home status. Businesses and activities that provide COVID-19 essential services per Governor Baker's March 23rd order will continue to operate. Certain businesses and activities with a lower risk of COVID-19 transmission will open in earlier phases. The four phases are generally described as follows. Phase one is the start. Limited industries resume operations with severe restrictions. Phase two is a cautious note. So additional industries resume operations with restrictions and capacity limits. Phase three, vigilant phase. Additional industries resume operations with guidance. And phase four is the new normal, phase as titled Development of Vaccine and or Therapy Enables Resumption of a New Normal Process. So this approach comes with the caveat that we may move back to a prior phase if public health metrics fall below thresholds. The state has developed mandatory workplace safety standards to reduce the risk of COVID-19 transmission as employees and customers begin to return to work to workplaces during phase one. These mandatory workplace safety standards are applicable to all sectors and industries that will be open in phase one, and they create new workplace requirements for social distancing, hygiene, staffing and operations, and cleaning. And we continue to work on reopening plans for town facilities, and our health department is working with local businesses and organizations to ensure compliance with the reopening guidance from the state. That's all for the COVID-19 update, Karen.
Thanks, Tom. Michelle, anything at this point?
Yes, I have a few updates. So our elder services staff are in the process of developing additional remote program opportunities, including an open social coffee hour. Their memoir writing group also began to meet this week through Zoom, and staff are conducting surveys for programming offered at other senior centers to ensure that the programs we're offering here in Hingham are helpful and relevant. The senior center also upgraded its Voice Connect system, so now all pre-recorded messages generated by the senior center will appear in your caller ID as Town of Hingham MA with the number 781-741-1458. As you know, the South Shore Country Club opened this past Saturday to permit holders only for the time being. The club is following the new guidelines established by the governor to allow golf to safely resume in Massachusetts. Those guidelines include the following: course facilities, including but not limited to the clubhouse, golf shop, restaurant, bag room, and locker room, must remain closed. The practice putting green, driving range, and chipping areas at golf courses must remain closed as well. No caddies are allowed, no golf carts are allowed, with certain exceptions to ensure ADA compliance. Push carts may be used, but players must either carry their own bag or use a push cart. All golfers must use their own clubs. Sharing golf clubs or renting golf clubs is not allowed at this time. Golfers must maintain proper social distancing of at least 6 feet at all times. Groups of players are restricted to no more than 4 players at one time. The tee time policy must be 15 minutes between groups. Golfers must stay in their car until 15 minutes before their tee time and must return to their car immediately following play. And online and remote payment options must be utilized. It's a long list of restrictions, but it's meant to keep everyone safe. And I know Kevin Whalen and his team are excited to at least be able to open in this limited capacity at this time. The Greenside Grill at the Country Club continues to offer local takeout and delivery menu Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 8, and you can find that menu on their website. Last update is from the school. Yesterday, the school department rolled out new remote learning plan guidelines for teachers and for parents, and those include results from the district-wide survey the school conducted in late April. The schools will employ a blended model of learning consisting of asynchronous delivery of core academic content coupled with synchronous opportunities for students to engage with district faculty and staff. The Remote Learning Plan 2.0 guidelines for parents can be found on the school's website at hinghamschools.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Questions or comments for Michelle and Tom with respect to the COVID-19 updates? Joe.
Yes, I do. First, for Michelle. So Michelle, has the Country Club adjusted the handicaps for golfers in light of these new guidelines?
I don't believe any guidelines came out about that, Joe.
Okay.
I will point out though, Joe, that I've heard that several people have quote unquote been practicing social distancing by playing from the woods.
Okay.
So
okay.
I thought that was nice.
On a more serious note, I know that residents and businesses in Hingham are looking to the town for guidance on when restaurant operations will be able to open in addition to takeout, as well as retail operations. Do you know when the town is going to be in a position to offer that guidance to the businesses?
Sure. So we're anticipating guidance from the governor's advisory board on May 18th. Once we receive that, we will we'll continue to incorporate their thought, the state's thoughts, into our local plans. So that's coming out here in several days.
Okay, and then a similar question. I've gotten inquiries concerning summer camps, summer programs in general. Are they going to be available? When will announcements be made? What's the guidance there? So perhaps, again, you could give the same comments and response, Tom or Michelle.
Yeah, exactly right, Joe. That's 100% right. I'm very much expecting those guidance to be given by the state on those issues as well at the May 9th, within the May 18th report.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Sure.
Thanks. Mary, questions for Tom or Michelle?
No questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Questions from the public with respect to the COVID-19 updates?
Aye.
Not seeing any raised hands. So I'm going to move to the next couple items on the agenda, which involve a street opening request by National Grid. Is there someone here? Dennis, I see you on the line. Are you prepared to speak to these street opening requests?
I'm on the line as well.
Yeah, hi, this is Dennis. Mary is going to read these into the record.
Hey, Mary. Please proceed.
Good evening.
Could the speaker identify herself, please?
Mary, could you state your name and affiliation for the record when you get a chance?
Yes, I'm sorry. My name is Mary Mulroney, and I'm petitioning Hingham on behalf of National Grid.
Great. And are you going to read the...
Sure.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay. National Grid hereby respectfully requests your consent to install and maintain approximately 95 feet, more or less, of 2-inch gas main in Hull Street, Hingham, from the existing 6-inch gas main in Hull Street, Cohasset westerly in the common driveway to house number 212, to replace and abandon the existing 1.5-inch bare steel gas main.
Okay. That's one of them. And then does it make sense to take this next one as well? Do you want to read
that? That's fine. This is the second one, the second request, and it's to install and maintain approximately 475 feet, more or less, of 2-inch gas main in Wampatucket Road, Hingham, from the existing 3-inch gas main in Planters Field Lane, westerly to house number 17, Wampatucket Road, to replace and abandon the existing 2-inch bare steel gas main and the 2-inch coated steel gas main in Wampatucket Road.
Great, thanks. Thanks, Mary.
So, thank you.
So Dennis or Mary, I don't know whether one of you could just speak to the reason for the project. I'm assuming these streets are part of the Hingham street opening plan, so you're following that protocol. Again, assuming these are aging gas mains that need to be replaced, can you give us a little background on why these two projects?
Well, they're part of the main and service replacement program that the company recommends, and Hingham has been working with National Grid to replace the main in the older main in the town. So this is part of that project.
Okay. And then, Dennis, I'd asked if you wouldn't mind joining us tonight as well. I realize this isn't part of these street openings, but I was wondering if you could perhaps give us a little update on the 228 project. And also just, as Tom was reading, I think there are, there are guidelines in place with respect to COVID-19 protocols. And I just wanted to understand how National Grid is implementing those in Hingham.
Sure. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'll start with the 228 project, give you a quick update on that. To date, we've installed 4,020 feet of pipe. I think the project was approximately 7,600 feet. So It's slowed down a bit. They've hit ledge as they proceeded towards Route 3A. I've been told it's starting to thin out. So that's a good sign. We have a second crew starting on Rockwood Road, probably tomorrow or Thursday, to take out that old main there. They'll be doing test holes this week and probably start in earnest next week. The projected completion date for this project is the end of June. Now, it could be a week or two prior. It could be mid-June. It could stretch into a week into July, but they're doing pretty good. Again, they've been slowed down a little bit because of the ledge recently, but they're fighting through it, and I think the project is going fairly well. Any questions on that portion of it?
Joe or Mary, questions with respect to the 228 project itself?
No.
I'm all set.
Okay. If you could just take us through your COVID-19 protocols, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm gonna just highlight a few of them as it probably relates to Hingham. I sent Tom them the plan. It's 18 pages. It's quite extensive. As you know, we're gas and electric in three states: New York, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. So at a high level. And as it relates, I'm going to focus on the gas side now, because Hingham is just natural gas for National Grid. We sequestered key employees to keep our infrastructure safe and reliable. That includes gas supply and control. It's been a cold spring, right? And so a lot of Hingham folks have heat, hot water supplied by natural gas. The folks that we sequestered, make sure those pressures are maintained, make sure, they operate remote valves to keep the pressures up, keep the gas flowing in our cities and towns. We also sequestered our LNG employees, 2-week rotation. They go in, they don't come out for 2 weeks. We've shifted 8,000 of our workforce to work from home. Huge effort, right? It's a call center. We're 24/7. We don't close. There could always be an emergency any time of day, weekends, holidays, etc. We pause non-essential work. What that means is we're required. We're a regulated industry. We're required to change meters, do some essential mandated work. But if it's not considered essential, we don't want to go into homes. So we've paused some of that, and we've added safety protocols for the essential workforce in the front lines. And I think that's what you want me to talk about a little, and I'll get to that in 1 second. We've also stopped shutting customers off for non-payment. We've paused collection activities. So we've done a lot of things with the public in mind. We've donated $1 million. To food banks and food pantries and United Way and things like that. So big effort, and we're getting through it. Some of the things we're doing on the front line. So I'll start with like crew leaders, and I'll use a crew installing a new service to a resident in Hingham. So the crew leaders, or any crew that's working out there, like corrosion or any work that we deem vital. These crew leaders, every day they walk the job to make sure it's a safe work environment. If non-compliance is observed, they take corrective action. They have the authority to shut the job down if they see a serious work issue. They perform a daily job briefing before any work before commencing any work to see if there's any risk for COVID-19 violations on that job site. Our employees, each employee is responsible to report any symptoms to their supervisor. Any employee can call for a safety stop if they think a situation is hazardous. all loan workers. And when I say loan workers, that means folks that are like in the vans, performing leak checks. They conduct a self-assessment, and they go through a guidance every day before they start work. We also have National Grid field safety representatives that do random and routine and random crew visits to make sure we're following these policies. One of the things we do for PPE, face coverings are required for all National Grid employees, especially when they're working in public places. We do have to go into people's homes as part of a leak investigation, any emergency response, any leak out in the street. We have to do an area check. We have a whole set of rules around that, and I can go through some of them if you'd like. It's protocol requiring asking certain questions to the residents if they have anybody that's with COVID-19 in the house. And then we, if they do, we still are required to make the situation safe if it's an emergency. So we ask them to wait into another room. There's a whole list of questions that the rep will have to go through. Again, would you social distance if I have to come into your house? Is anyone sick in the premises? They're required to wear face masks, latex gloves. They dispose of the gloves upon leaving the premises, and they will wash their hands. And after, or use what we have is if they're in the vans, obviously they can't. And all the public bathrooms seem to be shut in firehouses. So they have disinfectant and antibacterial soap in their vans, and they wash their hands. So there's a lot here, and I apologize. I'm trying to go through it all. It's 18 pages. But the crews are practicing social distance when possible when they're working in the street. They are taking individual cars to jobs. One will take a truck. They'll arrive separately. They're told to keep their distance from detailed police officers. So there's a whole list of National Grid protocol that we have in place. It will probably change as the governor's guidance comes out in this pandemic changes. Our plan will probably change with it, but that's some of the things we're doing now.
Dennis, I really, really appreciate it. You know, I think that the town really appreciates the continued work, as you've indicated. It is essential for us to get these old gas mains replaced. And, you know, I'm sure I speak for my colleagues and the folks on the line tonight. It's just comforting to know that National Grid has taken, you know, I think very thoughtful and comprehensive measures to keep your people safe, but also to keep the customers in Hingham safe. So, you know, I know it was a lot to cover, but I think it's helpful to us to understand both how your crews are working and how they, you know, may or may not interact with customers in Hingham.
Absolutely. And I'll just add this. I know Tom has the plan. I'm sure not everybody's had a chance to review it from cover to cover. When you do, or if you do and you have additional questions, feel free to reach out to me. There's a lot in here, and I can clarify anything that you might need clarified.
Okay. Thank you. So let's do this. There are kind of three things on the table right now. One would be if you had any questions for Dennis with respect to his update on the 228 project and or COVID protocols for National Grid, as well as the two projects on Hull at Hull Street and Wampatuck Road. So if you wanted to take maybe the 228 and COVID first, and then I'll go to Mary, and then we'll circle back to the road opening requests.
I only have questions on the road opening request, so nothing further at this time.
Okay. Mary, anything with respect to 228 or the COVID protocols?
I would just add that Dennis, Tom actually forwarded the board the COVID protocols. I had a chance to read through them. I think they're very well thought out. Understand that things may change as we move through this, but I think you have a good process and great protocols, and it was reassuring to read them.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
So I'm going to take questions from the public on only the COVID protocols or Dennis's remarks with respect to the 228 project. But so are there any questions for Dennis as representative from National Grid with respect to what you just heard about his COVID, National Grid COVID protocols? Okay, well, we'll move back to the central items on the agenda, and that is the request for two road openings. The openings are contingent on the same DPW letter. The letters in both cases are dated April 24th, 2020, and outline the typical conditions that the town of Hingham places on the work by National Grid in Hingham. Joe, specific questions on these projects?
I do. I guess before getting to the questions, I wanted to thank you for pointing out the letter of April 24th, 2020. And just so the public knows, those rules and specifications are very extensive. There are 18 points listed. It covers pre-construction rule meetings, rules governing trenches, standards for patching and paving. It's a well thought out document, and I appreciate that the Department of Public Works has really put in the time to make sure that this work is being done properly. With respect to the Hull Street, am I correct that the town of Cohasset will also need to approve this before it goes forward?
I believe that. This is J.R. Fry, town engineer.
I'm sorry, what was your response?
I'm sorry, Joe, just let me jump in for a sec. This is Tom. I was going to have a chance to introduce him earlier, and I missed my opportunity. J.R. Fry is our new town engineer. He is on the line, and he is also familiar with these projects. So it sounds like J.R. has some information for us on the Hull Street project.
Yes, because half of the road is in Cohasset, it's their responsibility to permit any road opening within their right of way.
So has approval yet been requested from Cohasset?
That would be for National Grid to complete.
Right. Has that happened, what I'm asking?
Okay. I don't know.
As far as I know, no.
I don't believe it has.
So I'm assuming that the timing to move forward on the Hull Street project is contingent on you getting not only our approval, but also Cohasset's approval.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I believe, and Mary, sorry if I hijacked your response, but I believe the main replacement is in Hingham.
Yeah.
The laterals that we will have to connect to complete the project probably cross into Cohasset. So they would not require a grant of location hearing. It would be strictly a street opening permit. And we're not doing the laterals at this time.
Okay, so I just didn't know if that was going to affect the timing if we had to wait for Cohasset to act. So it sounds like it's not.
It will not.
Okay.
No.
Have the abutters been notified for both the Hull Street as well as the Wampatuck Road projects?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And then finally, what is the time of day when the work would be done for these projects?
That would be coordinated with the town engineers and the DPW, that what their request is, but normal working day projects, whatever the permit is issued. I don't know if it's 8 to 4 or 8 to 6 or 9 to 3, whatever the requirement is from the town, you're the town of Hingham.
So this would not be going along the same time as the other work from National Grid, which is evening work?
Not that I'm aware of, unless your town dictates that, but this looks like a residential neighborhood, so I'm going to say no.
Tom, do you know if the timing is the same or different?
This is during the day. This is day work.
That's what I anticipated. And What would you expect the noise to be from this work for the neighbors?
Well, I know those areas. I don't think there's a lot of ledge in those areas. The 95 feet, they're going to saw cut one day, install the main the next day. It's probably a three-day project, in all honesty. Noise will be minimal. And the other one, I don't have it in front of me. I think it was 475 feet.
That's right.
Probably a week to 10 days max, minimal noise. I get it. In the new world we're in, a lot of people working from home, you know.
Exactly.
So, you know, they can, it is construction. It's going to be some noise, but it's not going to be just, I don't anticipate they're going to be pounding ledge down there. So, okay. I don't think it's going to be bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thank you for the diligence here. This clearly is work that has to be done. So I appreciate your responses.
You're welcome.
That's it.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Mary, any questions with respect to these grants of location?
First of all, I just want to say welcome to JR and hope that we have an opportunity to meet you in person very soon.
Thank you. That'd be great.
My only question, and I'm sorry if I missed it, but when will this work commence? Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be within the month?
As soon as the permit is applied for and released from the town of Hingham, the National Grid would start it as soon as possible.
Okay. And Mary, about how long will it take once the project starts to complete the work, please?
I believe Dennis mentioned that the Hull Street job would take 3 days in and around there, but keep in mind too, weather plays a factor in it. So if it went to 4 days because it was raining, they were unable to do it for safety reasons, it could delay it. And Wampatuck, I think you said up to about around 10 days window, give or take as well.
Thank you very much. Karen, I'm all set.
Great. The only question I had was, and I know abutters need to be notified with respect to the grant of location hearing, which is what we're doing tonight. I think that we have, we've asked in the past that National Grid place door hangers or otherwise make contact with residents, you know, a day or two or three before the work's going to commence. I'm assuming that would be part of your practice here as well.
If it's been the past practice, then yes, the town, that's what they would do.
Okay. Well, Mary, if you don't mind kind of making a note of that, because I think that's been...
I have made a note of it.
Okay.
Notify the abutters prior to work, right?
Yeah, it's just been important to us in the past that, you know, sometimes these grants of location will sit for a little bit, as you've indicated. You know, sometimes it's weather, sometimes it's crews. You know, but I think it's just helpful for people's planning purposes to know when you're actually going to be on the street. So we appreciate that extra effort.
Karen, perfect. If I could just follow up on that, that letter from the Department of Public Works, point 18 there, which National Grid has to follow, specifically says 2 weeks prior to the commencement of the work, it will be the responsibility of the contractor, National Grid, to provide notification to all abutters within the project area. And they use social media to advertise the project, also be the responsibility to provide 48-hour notification to property owners when the crew will be in front of their property. So,
yeah, if I could just jump in there, that you're absolutely correct. Prior to any main replacement, we don't mail them out prior to the grant. That's a bad look on our part, right? Yeah. We're not assuming the town's going to approve anything. Once we get approval for the grant and the job is permitted, we'll work with Randy Sylvester and his team and go over the conditions on the permit. Once we've finalized everything, we send out a butter letter to all the residents, and we go beyond the scope of what we're going to do for work. We also send out FAQs that might help explain why we're doing this work and the process. We also email all the town officials that we have that have requested a notification of this project too. So you should, it's kind of threefold. Sounds like we have to add another gentleman onto this distribution list. And if you email his information to me, Tom, I'll make sure he gets these emails from that.
Will do.
Also.
Will do. And he'll be your point of contact going forward, Dennis.
Yep.
Correct.
And the notifications also provide a telephone number, a hotline for people to call, and also specify what the anticipated work hours will be.
That's correct. And if I could do a shameless plug, there's a very nice video link on there. So if anyone wants to go in onto the website or the link in these letters, is a nice video, probably 2 or 3 minutes long, and it shows a main being replaced. So it's pretty cool. Hopefully people are taking advantage of it.
Do you have a starring role in that video?
Oh, no. No.
Questions from the public with respect to either of the National Grid projects? Okay, seeing none, I would take a motion with respect to Hall Street.
I move to approve the petition of National Grid to install and maintain approximately 95 feet of 2-inch gas main in Hall Street. The gas main will originate at approximately number 203 Hall Street, Cohasset, connecting into the existing 6-inch gas main and continue westerly under the paved surface of Route 228 Hull Street into the common driveway to completion at approximately number 212 Hull Street in Hingham. This gas main will replace an existing 1.5 inch bare steel decayed main that is approximately 89 to 91 years old. This approval is subject to the stipulation of the Department of Public Works as outlined in the letter dated April 24, 2020.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor shall say aye. Joe Fisher?
Aye.
Mary Power?
Aye.
Karen Johnson? Aye. I would now accept the motion with respect to the National Grid project on Wampatuck Road.
I'll make a motion to approve the petition of National Grid to install and maintain approximately 475 feet of 2-inch gas main in Wampatuck Road. The gas main will originate at the intersection with Planters Field Lane, connecting into the existing 3-inch gas main, and continue westerly to number 17 Wampatuck Road. This gas main will replace an existing 2-inch bare steel decayed main that is approximately 92 years old, and an existing 2-inch coated steel decayed gas main that is approximately 100 years old. This approval is subject to the stipulation of the Department of Public Works as outlined in the letter dated April 24th, 2020.
Second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor shall say aye. Joe Fisher?
Aye.
Mary Power?
Aye.
Karen Johnson? Aye. Great. Hey, Dennis and Mary, thank you very much for being on the line, and thanks for your continued good work and cooperation here in Hingham. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time, and everybody stay safe.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Karen, do you mind if I jump in just for a second?
Sure.
So as you all know, we're working kind of in dual capacity here. The advisory committee is taking up the FY21 budget discussion right now. They have asked if possible, we could have Mary and Michelle join their meeting. If they're willing to do so.
Mary, Michelle, do you really want to leave us?
There's a loaded question.
Yeah, exactly. Before they go, you know, I just want to say that's the next item on our agenda. We actually voted as part of the school committee meeting on Monday. And, you know, before they do go, Michelle and Mary in particular, with Sue and Tom, just did an amazing job to pull together a proposal that, you know, we'll continue to talk about in a few minutes that, you know, I think really creates accountability to town meeting around managing our resources really, really carefully in this very uncertain time. And so I thank them both, you know, very much. I frankly don't know what the town would do without them. And with that, I send you off to the advisory committee to carry forward in what has been a very collegial process. I just am very proud of, I think, the way everyone is coming to the table, particularly the school committee on Monday afternoon. So thanks, Mary and Michelle, and good luck with advisory.
Karen, I just want to say thank you to you and Joe as well, and to Tom. This was truly a team effort. It wouldn't have happened without everybody working together. I would also just say that with respect to the outstanding agenda items, Tom and I had a couple discussions during the day, so he'll be prepared to share you know, any remarks, but I'm very comfortable with you and Joe moving ahead on those things.
Great, thanks, Mary, and thanks.
Thank you.
Karen, can I ask one more favor? Can you indulge me? Can we pause for about, you know, 30 seconds while Michelle transfers recording to Heidi of this meeting?
Sure, yep.
All right, thank you. Hopefully this doesn't mess it up, but I know that Harvard Media can help us piece it together if it does. It looks like Heidi's recording now. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom, anything else you want to be indulged on, or are you good?
I wouldn't mind, you know. No, I'm good.
So let me just, for the purposes of the public, let me just take you through kind of what we have left and how we'll proceed. So we have the FY budget discussion. We'll take you through a little bit of what we talked about at the school committee on Monday. We'll hear from Harbor Media with respect to a capital expenditure request. We have the farmers market on the agenda this evening, which is great to see as a sign of spring. And I know folks are excited to work with the vendors there. As we typically do, Joe and I will ask questions and make comments, and then I will turn to members of the public if you have any questions or comments with respect to each agenda item as we go. What I think would be helpful, I'm sort of seeing on the list here, it would be helpful if at this point you can mute yourselves. I think from time to time we've had some background noise, and Michelle reached out to say that the recording was getting a little fuzzy. I will confess I'm not the best at this, but in the left-hand corner of the screen, there's a mute button that you should be able to take yourself on and off of. So if you don't mind doing that, and then, you know, when we get to the public comment section, or if you want to ask a question, I think you can unmute yourself. You could also use that raise hand feature, and we'll call on you and unmute you too. So thank you. So next up is the FY 21 budget discussion. You know, for those of you who have been attending our meetings over the last several weeks, you know that we have been working very diligently to construct a financial management plan for FY 21. And, you know, I should have said first, we're working to make sure that we can, you know, we can work through the end of FY 20 intact and produce a balanced budget, which, you know, given the fiscal constraints we put in place, I think the finance team will tell you they have a high degree of confidence that we will in fact get through FY 20 intact, which is no small measure. It meant that immediately on shutdown, you know, we went into a very analytical process to make sure we weren't spending any money we didn't absolutely have to spend. But then the next big, I think, issue that we had to tackle was we had just concluded the budget process, like, you know, a week or so before all this happened, you know, with a fully funded FY21 budget. And the question was, how do we recommend that budget to town meeting when we know that the revenue assumptions that form the foundation for that budget are just not going to come through for FY21? So we did, you know, we did two things. One, we are recommending that the advisory committee recommend to town meeting a reasonable use of fund balance in the amount of about $3.3 million, coupled with very significant and forward-looking financial controls to make sure that we step cautiously into the first quarter, pardon me, of the fiscal year, And that the forecast group, the advisory committee, and the board of selectmen, as well as the school committee, all work together to make sure, again, that we are being very, very mindful of not spending money before we absolutely need to. Because I think part of what Mary Jo and I talked about was the temporal nature of this issue. It's so uncertain. We just don't know what's going to happen. We're trying to make a plan in that uncertainty. And the more time we can give ourselves and the more flexibility we can provide ourselves with respect to our expenditures, I really think the better for the town. So I have just, you heard me say, I've just, the volunteer experience in this town is incredible, as we all know. Being part of this process over these last couple of weeks has been, again, just an incredible experience in collegiality, cooperation, expertise. It's really brought, I think, folks together to understand that the town has significant financial issues ahead of it and a commitment by the school committee yesterday endorsing, you know, their role in helping us manage through it. You know, I thank Michelle Ayer, who's the chair, Dr. Austin, John Ferris, and the entire school committee really for coming together very, very quickly to understand the issue and to, you know, endorse, I think, the metrics that we need to track in order to be careful about managing the authorization from town meeting. So I just I can't convey enough my sort of my gratitude and pride in being a part of that effort. Joe, I didn't know if there was, so you know, the anticlimactic part is we actually voted the financial plan yesterday afternoon. Just from a protocol standpoint, we voted it and recommended it to the school committee. The school committee voted it, and now it moves on to the advisory committee for their deliberation. Joe, questions or comments with respect to the financial plan?
Well, I'm going to try to keep this really brief, and I think my first comment is I think you've understated your own contribution here. It's really been significant and very much appreciated by me and the school committee and by others. So thank you, Karen. I just wanted to highlight that the factors that we have been looking at are both internal and external to the town. Internal, the big issues would be real estate taxes and the meals tax, and we are expecting some hits there. And external, the largest issue is the amount of state aid that the town of Hingham receives, and we are expecting, at least on a preliminary basis, in excess of a 19% reduction in state aid. So with those revenue deficits in mind, we are managing a process to make sure that we proceed prudently. And when Karen said that we're delaying things, we are really moving in a fiscally prudent way, in my view, with our foot on the brake in terms of how we're running the town so that as the future unfolds, we will be in a position to manage the town and hopefully be in a position to take our foot off of the brake and proceed with delivery of services that the residents all expect. So that is really the background for the work that we've done. And I think, Karen, you've done a great job summarizing what we've done. And I know that Tom is going to continue that explanation.
Great, thanks. Tom, any brief remarks, or I can open it up to the public for comments and questions?
Yeah, no, I believe you two both captured it well. We're looking at projected deficits, and we're implementing austerity measures to offset those projections as best we can. So,
and is the plan available on the website yet, or when?
Michelle posted it yesterday. Yep.
Okay, so folks, if you want to take a look at the details of the plan, you know, it contains some background information. Like Joe said, it talks about the analysis that we did to get to where we are and the metrics that we'll use to monitor things going forward. Questions or comments from the public with respect to the FY21 financial management plan? I'm not seeing anybody. So we will move on now to the Harbor Media. And I believe there's only one item tonight, a request for a capital expenditure to upgrade camera equipment in the new town hall. Is there a representative from Harbor Media that could take us through that request?
This is Dave Jones from the Cable Advisory Committee. I'll take it on.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Essentially, we're following up on getting an HD channel in our last license renewal with Verizon, and this has been in the works for a while. And what we're trying, what we're requesting, is a capital expenditure for the update of the robotic equipment in the selectmen's room to support HD. And the money will be coming from existing cable funds, so there's not any additional money from the town that's requested. The figure for the upgrade of the selectmen's room, including video switches, camera controllers, et cetera, is $25,675. We don't expect to spend that much. Actually, we'll probably get that down, so not to exceed that. And we already have a vendor in mind that gave us that quote. It's Unique Access Media, and the project lead on it will be Harbor Media. So essentially, we just want approval for upgrading the HD equipment in the selectman's room.
Great, thank you. And as you've indicated, the money that would be used to fund this capital expenditure by Harbor Media is fee driven. So it comes from the cable fees that you pay. A little piece of that goes to local access. That's what Harbor Media will use to undertake this upgrade. And it's, you know, sort of interesting. We just said, oh, we're not spending any money.
No, don't spend any money.
Yeah, we're asking for that money. This is money that's not available for anything else.
No, it's already been in there. And yeah,
nor is it tax money.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it's fee money. And the other thing I guess I'd say is that, you know, we quickly realized, right, I mean, I think for a long time, folks have relied on Harbor Media to provide access, television access, via, you know, the local access channels for our proceedings at Town Hall. And I think that the quality of that video feed is really important to, you know, I think to continue to entice people to tune in. So we've appreciated your help in posting our recordings. You know, I think in this uncertain environment, it's helpful that people can get access to the conduct of their government. So I appreciate that.
I'd also point out that obviously the work will not commence until the town hall is open and, you know, we have full access, but yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Yep. Jim, any questions with respect to this request for capital expenditure?
I've got no questions.
Tom, Mayo, did Mary have anything, any comments?
She wanted to let me to let you folks know that she and I did review this today, and she is good with the plan.
Okay. Questions or comments from the public with respect to this request for capital expenditure?
This is John Rice. I'm on the Cable Advisory Committee as well.
Hi, John.
And I just wanted to let the board know that the HD channel that's on Verizon, which I think represents about 40% of the community, is up and running, and it's going to be a best of channel. In other words, it takes the three PEG access channels, education, government, and public, and it's combined into one channel, and it's going to be on a channel assignment that's going to be a lot more accessible for folks, because the SD channels, people just don't watch them anymore. So that's very positive. That's something we help negotiate. And then the Comcast situation is we have another year to wait for them to be obligated to put a HD channel on, so that both Verizon and Comcast subscribers can enjoy Harbor Media programming on this best of channel. There won't be three PEG HD channels. There'll be just one.
Okay, great. Thanks for that clarification. Any further questions or comments from the public with respect to the capital expenditure by Harbor Media?
Just want to let you know, Karen, that I've been told by a reliable source that apparently the Board of Selectmen are the highest rated
yes,
TV show.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. You guys are stars. You're stars.
You know, and now you're going to be in HD.
You know why? Because I watch myself again and again. Laura Burns, I see your hand up. Welcome.
Hi, Laura Burns, 479 Main Street. I just want to say Dave did a great job presenting this, and John did a great job, you know, letting people know that we have this Verizon HD channel, but he didn't say the channel number. It's channel
2131. Right.
Everybody all together, 2131.
2131.
People with Verizon can go and see what everything that we film actually really looks like, because we film most things in HD already. It just has always appeared in SD. So everybody should, when the time comes, when the Board of Selectmen is back in person, because you are our stars, we will have a launch where we really let the community know that it's out there. But you people who are listening now get the first chance to go look at our HD channel.
Laura, will you be providing makeup artists for us? When
Just don't count on the residuals.
Yeah.
You're on your own with that.
Okay.
I was on my own with that. You're on your own with that.
Just for the record, former select woman Burns was my reliable source.
There you go.
Karen?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Just in light of the vote that the Board of Selectmen took yesterday with respect to the financial management plan, I was going to ask Tom, and I know the answer already, but just ask Tom to confirm that moving forward with this expenditure is consistent with the financial management plan, since he is the person who's been designated to manage that plan. So we should have it on the record that you are in fact saying that this is consistent with the plan.
And here I am, and I can't defer to Michelle, huh?
That's ouch. Right.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Any further questions with respect to the Harbor Media expenditure? Seeing none, I will take a vote. I'm going to take a motion.
I will move, but I'll first note that, Karen, I can barely hear you. I think you've moved away from the mic. I move to approve the transfer of $25,675 from the cable capital account to Harbor Media for the proposed town hall media equipment upgrades in the Selectman's meeting room.
Second, all those in favor, Joe?
Aye.
Karen? Aye. Mary will abstain, or no, not abstain, she's just not here, right?
Right.
Okay, and my understanding, I know there are folks from Harbor Media on the line, my understanding is we are gonna postpone the bylaw discussion, is that correct?
That's right.
That's okay. My understanding, yes.
Great, okay. Well, thank you for being here. And with that, we will move to the Hingham Farmers Market temporary relocation to Station Street parking lot. Tom, if you could just take us through maybe the technicalities of this proposal, and then maybe I see Mark Cullings is on the line. He may be able to follow up with some additional details.
Sure, happy to. So as you know, we generally hold the farmers market down at the bathing beach. However, because of the COVID, the restrictions with the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic that we're working under now, while we wanted badly to initiate the farmers market, we had to do it in a responsible manner. And so what we've designed, and Mark will probably go into it, but is a pre-order drive-through pickup process that we will have at Station Street parking lot. And there will be 10 booths available for this first initial process. And that will include some vegetables, some meats, and perhaps some other goods. Again, Mark might have a little bit more detail there, but that will open, the market will be open under those parameters on May 23rd and May 30th. And we will evaluate how that's working and what world we're living in under within COVID, and any new guidance we get from the state will apply and perhaps extend or alter the license going forward from there.
Okay, thank you. Mark Cullings, I don't know whether you'd like to follow up.
I am. Hi, Karen. Mark Cullings, 44 Spring Street. Can you, how is the audio here? Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. Yep.
That's great. I'm just curious about the technology. Are you able? Am I able to share a screen with you?
No.
Okay. All right. So but I think that I've that you all have a document that I sent that has a map of the arrangement at Station Street. First of all, let me thank everybody who's been involved in this on the town side. Tom, you in particular, Susan Sarney, Chief Olson has been very active in responding to issues that are important, and we've come a long way. This whole process started when everything started to fall apart and the winter market got closed down in Wampatuck. We began looking for a place that was suitable to have a market, which, as you know, is included on the governor's essential services list, probably more important this year than perhaps ever, because of the importance of New England farms, Massachusetts farms, being unable to get their products to wholesale markets and restaurants and those kinds of things. So farmers markets and farm stands, pretty much the only way they can do that. So anyway, that's a discussion for another day. But the Station Street lot is a great location. As you know, it was the original site of the farmers markets for years, dating back before 1970, so when it was incorporated. The arrangement that we're thinking about is a model that's been used in other communities across the nation. Everybody is confronting the same sorts of issues as that Hingham is. And the pre-order and a pickup model, as we're beginning with, will be vehicular traffic only, no pedestrian traffic allowed. We are starting with up to 10 vendors. I don't know at this point whether we will actually have 10. We have more than 10 who are interested in coming, but as Tom pointed out, we're beginning with the farms and the protein vendors. There are four of each who are prepared and want to be a part of the market. Four farms with produce, two seafood vendors, a beef vendor, and a poultry, eggs and pork vendor for eight, and whether or not we're able to have two others who are able and to be up and running on the 23rd is up for discussion still. The process, I don't know whether I'll respond to questions and I won't go into the process of how the actual system's going to work unless you want to know it, but we are going to need between 8 and 10 volunteers. And we've been working with Dan Power and Hingham Link for access to that cadre of volunteers, as well as our friends of the Hingham Farmers Market, which is a part of the market, but they're the folks who have been managing the SNAP program and the SNAP match program for a number of years. And we don't have SNAP availability. SNAP, as you know, is the federal program that replaced food stamps. There's no ability to run SNAP as a pre-order and a prepay system, and that gets into some details. There are actions taking place at the state level to try and remedy that, but for now we don't have SNAP. But the friends are going to administer the volunteer program. We will have vests that clearly identify staff members and volunteers for the market, for each market we have. And they'll be providing information and directions. It's going to take a significant amount of consumer education to have this operation up and running, we hope smoothly. We'll have an after action report after the 23rd to see just how things went. And for the first market, at least, we'll have two detail officers at the market to assist with us. We're going to provide, we'll have a porta potty and hand washing station available at the parking lot for use by the vendors and staff only. Again, no pedestrian traffic, so we're not getting that part of social distancing and sanitary processes is not a part of the plan. We're concerned about traffic, and I know the chief is, and his people are, and that's one of the reasons that I think detail officers are going to be essential and very helpful, as they have been at the bathing beach. We look forward to a successful operation for 2 weeks, and we hope to be able to move it forward and perhaps transition to a more traditional walkthrough market that will be consistent with the Department of Public Health's March 20th, I think, order that established the guidelines for having pedestrian traffic in farmers markets. So let me shut up, and I'm happy to answer questions and see where we can go.
Great. Let me just say, you know, Mark, I really appreciate you. You're absolutely right. You started to work on this, you know, as soon as things started to shut down. And it's because of that diligence and your cooperation with the police chief and with the Board of Health and with the Board of Selectmen's office that we're here tonight, prepared to license the drive-through market. So I know it's so important to folks in Hingham and beyond. I do hope the state legislature is able to work out the SNAP issues, because I think it's just disappointing, right, that the folks that really need access to fresh fruit and vegetables, can't take advantage of this in this environment. I did see the chief on, and I was just wondering before I turned it over to Joe, if the chief had any comments that he might like to make.
Hey, Chief, it's Karen, it's Chief Olson. I just want to thank you. I think this is a process that we spent a lot of time reviewing, making sure that everything was compliant. And when we have these different new opportunities come up, we've really, as a town, examined them to make sure they run work correctly. The traffic flow is there, the social distancing, and we're abiding by all the governor's rules. I feel that this is a great setup. We'll be able to provide the adequate space for the vehicles to drive through, as well as to maintain parking for some of the other merchants that would need access to public parking on Station Street. And we're also making sure that the two handicap spots remain open that are basically behind the bus stop, because we feel that obviously that people taking the bus would still need that access if needed. So I'm very confident to have it work, and I'm sure we've always had a good relationship with the farmers market, and they've always run a good operation. So I'm sure this will continue to do the same in the future.
Great, thank you, Chief. Joe, questions or comments about the farmers market temporary location on Station Street?
Yes, thank you, Mark, for your persistence in making sure that this happens. I really appreciate it. I have a question about the signage. Will there be signs showing where people enter, how they leave, directional signs within the Station Street parking lot, as well as a sign outside the parking lot as to where to go?
Absolutely, Joe. I think we're thinking in terms of a whole lot of whiteboards with markers to for directional things, but so that the education of our customers is going to be multifaceted. Signage is one. It's a big one. The volunteers talking to people as they come up to the market is going to be essential, because we know that people are going to see the sign that says Hingham Farmers Market. They're going to pull in and want to buy things, and we can't do that for now. So people will have the our volunteers will be there to explain to people who haven't seen the press releases and the publications that we're going to be putting out, and we are going to use social media, our website extensively, as well as the print media and online media to help educate people. But signage, the personal interaction with the volunteers and staff at the market, what we expect to do just in terms of process is to have somebody at the entrance of the market, which is the entrance near the sub-galley, and somebody at the entrance to ascertain that the people in the car actually have an order to pick up. And they'll be directed to a station inside the parking lot where they will be given a map of where the vendors are, and as well as being given a sign. We're going to ask them to bring a sign with their names, so that as they proceed through the market, their names are visible. They can go to the station where their vendors, there will be people who are buying from several vendors. We understand that, and they'll know where they are. The signage for the customers in the car will be helpful for the vendors to be able to see who it is and get the orders and bring them physically to the car and put them in the trunk. We've also provided enough space between the vendors so that if there is confusion or a slowdown backup, that they can pull out of the line next to the vendor and do their transaction. When I say transaction, nobody's buying anything. That's all been done. It's the retrieving the order. Oh, I forgot what name I put on the order form. So that we expect that there will be wrinkles like that, and we want to work through them as best we can. And as I say, when all is said and done and it's over, the hours are 9 to 12, and at 12:01, we're going to be saying, okay, what did we do right? And what did we, more importantly, what didn't work well, and how can we fix it?
So so you expect that there'll be a sign at the entrance that says, enter here, and there'll be a sign at the exit saying, do not enter when you're driving up on Station Street, not to pull in there, because that will be reserved for people leaving the Station Street lot.
Yes, sir, as well as personnel there to be sure that that doesn't happen.
Great. How do people order? I want to do this. How do I place my order?
Go to the website. You can do it now, but I wouldn't. Give us a few days to get the platform up and running. So the vendors who will be participating in the market will there will be links on the webpage and other places. Hingham Link will have access. You'll be able to get through it to Hingham Link, and so you'll go to the individual vendor. Let's just say you want produce from Oakdale Farms. You go to their, click on their website, and then it'll take you to their platform. The customer places the order, does the payment method, and gets a receipt by email, and then and that's about it. You make multiple orders for multiple websites. And that's how it's going to begin. We hope as time goes on, we'll have it made easier for both the vendors and the customers, because I know at this point it's a little cumbersome and unfamiliar. But people learn quickly, and what we've learned, and I'm in touch with a number of markets on a weekly basis across eastern Massachusetts, and what we're learning is that people are getting very familiar with these online ordering platforms, and from the vendors, demand is going through the roof. We've already heard from one protein vendor that they are going to have to triage. They can't accept, the demand is so high that they can't accept new vendors, and their supplies are going to be limited. But it's a sign of the times and an indication of just how important these local farms and farm producers are.
So, Mark, this is an invitation to plug your website. Where do I go? What website do I go to? What's the address so the people on
HinghamFarmersMarket.org.
Say that again?
HinghamFarmersMarket.org.
Great. Thank you. And then I've got a question for the chief. The entrance to the Sacred Street lot where the visitors will be coming is very close to the construction site for what is replacing Settles Glass. Do we know if that activity will be happening, construction activity happening at the times of the farmers market?
We will double check with them to make sure that there'll be no interference. They've been a very cooperative group down there as well, and I'm sure we're only talking from 9 to 12.
Right.
And I think that shouldn't be an issue, especially in the first couple of weeks. I'm sure it's going to hopefully get busier as we go along down there, but we're also leaving enough space so that vehicles can queue within the Station Street parking lot, and still vehicles that are accessing the public parking areas can still move through there as well. So I don't think we'll be queuing out beyond the parking lot.
Great, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
You know, again, really admirable job with all the logistics and anticipating the issues. And, you know, I look forward to a successful market in this location. Questions from the public with respect to the Hingham Farmers Market temporary relocation to Station Street. Okay. So there's no...
Karen, may I just offer something else?
Sure.
This has been a complicated process, and I can't tell you how proud I am. I think you know I take a great deal of pride in this town, and I'm glad to be a citizen here. But the amount of cooperation and in the face of what our town employees and administrators are faced with, I can't fully appreciate what they're going through right now. And it's just been very gratifying for all of us who are associated with the market to know that there's time for this. We believe it to be important, and I think others do too, but I know that it takes time away from other very important things to make this happen, and I want to thank everybody.
I appreciate that, Mark, because as you said, I think everybody's working really hard in really different ways right now, and you know, we've appreciated your cooperation in working through this, you know, with the departments that needed to be involved, and you know, I think it's a good result. So I didn't see any questions. I think the thing I will say is that, you know, when we do something like this and move something from one sort of piece of town property to another, the farmers market works with the trustees of the Bathing Beach to use the Bathing Beach location. And now they're working with the town to use Station Street
This is a license of town land, and it's something that the town administrator has the authority to sign off on. So, you know, we wanted to bring it forward to you tonight because it is such a big part of the Hingham fabric in the spring and summer. So we wanted to let you know what was going on, but the formality of it will be handled by the town administrator. And with that, we are actually at the public comment section of our meeting tonight. So the public comment is for items that are not on the agenda. Do we have anybody that would like to ask a question or make a comment with respect to items not on the agenda this evening? Okay, seeing none, we will move to appointments. I don't think we have appointments this evening.
No appointments tonight. Nope.
Selectmen and town administrator reports. Tom, anything further this evening?
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Karen.
Okay. Joe?
Nothing further this evening. Thank you.
Okay. I have a couple quick things. One is I participated in the MBTA Advisory Committee board meeting today discussing the projected FY21 budget for the MBTA. And I must say that I felt a kinship with the MBTA folks who are trying to budget again in this uncertain time. David Al Schuler is the appointed representative from the town of Hingham. He was on the call as well. You know, the takeaway for me was that the MBTA is following, I think, the same kind of concept that we're following, which is we don't know a lot now. So we are going to plan and have to budget in anticipation of bringing services, you know, back in full. But they also don't know if they bring them back in full or they bring them back differently and have to provide, you know, social distance opportunities or additional cleaning or, you know, what that's going to look like. But the budget that they're proposing now includes a significant reduction in ridership revenue that will be supplemented with funds from the CARES Act that they anticipate receiving. So the budget today was presented and will be voted by the MBTA Advisory Board to recommend to the MBTA Board next week. You know, the time of David Al Schuler to spend on that group, it's really important that Hingham have a voice as one of the municipalities that participates on this board. Next, I just would like to recognize the continued kindness and caring of people all across this town. The FLAG group, the frontline worker support group, Hingham Link, and most recently in the last week or so, the Veterans of Foreign War Post 6053, they joined together and contributed dollars in order for veteran service officer to be able to distribute grocery gift cards. You know, I think people are very mindful of those who are less fortunate and are struggling during this time. And I would like to, in particular, this week, recognize the RVFW post and their leadership and commitment to caring for those who are struggling. And then last but not least, this Friday is actually Peace Officer Memorial Day. You know, these are the times when, you know, I think we can conduct our business, right? We can get stuff done and we can keep moving, but it's these moments when we join together and reflect as a community. And the Peace Officer Memorial Day is one of those occasions. You know, my understanding is the Veteran Service Officer will still present the memorial wreath to the police department this year. But Police Officer Memorial Day is held annually on May 15th in honor of federal, state, and local police officers killed or disabled in the line of duty. And it is observed in conjunction with Police Week. And it's, again, one of those moments I think we pause as a community to remember those who have been killed or disabled in the line of duty, but also to thank those who continue to serve us every single day. So I think I saw Keith on the line. I appreciate you keeping these traditions and moments alive in a very different way. And I just want to recognize the police department during Police Week. So that's all I have. I would accept a motion to adjourn.
Move we adjourn.
Second, all those in favor, Joe Fisher.
Aye.
Karen Johnson, aye.